Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Day.
How was your Valentine's Day? Do you celebrate, first of all?
I don't in a formal way. Like, I've never done sort of like a prefix for a course Valentine's Day meal at a restaurant on Valentine's Day.
I've done that.
You've done it? How was it?
I did it at the place that Chris and I met. Harlow.
Really?
Now closed.
Now closed.
Rip.
Fuck.
Yeah, we did a prefix menu there.
Oh my God, how was it?
I mean, it wasn't great. That place is a club by night.
It's a club.
Anything that goes from like restaurant to club as a transition, I think, is not known for its cuisine.
No. No, there's certainly not like a chef de pastry in the back.
No.
Yeah. Not rolling out puff dough and, you know, artisan everything.
But I had an encrab meal the other night. God, it was good. A bread pudding.
Oh, I love a bread pudding.
It was, first of all, $17. Bread pudding, a little bit of history for you here, is a depression meal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was served because it was the cheapest thing you could possibly have. I mean, stale bread, a couple eggs, and milk. You had a bread pudding.
Well, now eggs are famously $13.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, eggs are actually really, really a luxury. It's sort of the caviar of the regular folk these
I know,
days.
Waffle House is charging 50 cents an egg these days. I know. But $17, I thought. It's got to be good. And my God, was it superb or was it superb? I mean, I don't go on and on about food, but I really thought I might step into dessert influencer territory. This is on crab.
Did you kiss at the table?
There was no kissing. No, there was no touching. But there was a couple next to us. And I said to Chris, are they on it? We kind of kept talking to them.
Oh.
And I said, were they on a date when they left? And Chris goes, yeah, no, of course. And I thought, really? There was no chemistry, no connection. If they were on a date, it was for sure like the first date.
That's wild.
They shared a full meal, like a steak frite.
Yeah.
Which was very expensive. Like if someone was shelling out for a steak frite.
But isn't that what you do on a date if you're new to impress?
I want to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
Chris never bought me a meal.
I think that Stephen bought me breakfasts. Like there were breakfasts where he would be like, you know, I've got this one. But in general, it's always been 50-50.
It's same.
Yeah.
I'm discovering that is not normal.
That's not the case. No.
And I'm
not
feeling around town. A little shortchanged by that.
Yeah. It's sort of like when I asked my dad to back pay me my allowance because he had agreed like 3 years prior to pay me an allowance, like all my American friends, which is like not a thing anywhere else. Like kids don't just get money like anywhere else. And I was like, hey, all of my friends are getting an allowance and I want one. And he went, okay. So for like 3 weeks, he gave me like $10 a week and then he stopped and he kept being like, yeah, I'll get it to you next week. Me, a loan shark. I think probably a year passed and I did the math of how much he owed me.
$500.
Yeah, something. And I came to him and I was like, hey, you owe me a lot of money and you have to pay it to me all today. And he said, absolutely not. I'm not paying you a cent.
You breaking his fingers?
Yeah. I tried to back pay. I tried to.
No, I really. And Chris asked me, we had this conversation and he said, do you feel salty about that? Do you feel a type of way? He was like, I wasn't making a lot of money when we first started dating. And I was like, I understand that, but I was making no money.
No money. Yeah.
And I was still looking like this.
Yeah.
On a budget. On $0.
Yeah.
I mean, I showed up to Los Angeles when we first met with $9 cash.
Yeah.
$9 cash and 20 cents in my bank account. A friend Venmo'd me $100 so I could get through the weekend.
Yeah.
No credit card. It had been closed on me. My credit card got,
of course.
I literally had that moment in like Sex and the City where they like cut a card in the store.
Oh.
Like the credit card company closed it.
Oh my God.
I was in, you know, thousands of dollars of debt.
Yeah.
And had $9 cash, which was enough to get the bus from the airport to downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah.
To where I was going to end up staying. Oh my God. So I really was,
yeah,
you know,
you just weren't ready to by. Split a steak free. Let's no. just say that.
And yet,
you found a way.
We found a way.
Yeah.
We found a way. I do really feel.
Well, you can ask at any time. It's not too late.
To be back.
For you to just be like, why don't you get this next time you're at a restaurant?
It's funny because I was cornered at his Christmas party by one of his coworkers who really brought that debate to the table.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Beatrice, I'm single, I'm dating, I'm going out with these women. He's British. And he was like, all the American girls expect me to pay and I can't live like this. And I said, look, you're going to now have to approach this as quality over quantity. You can't just be going out with every Bumble date that no. comes your way.
Yeah.
If you can only afford to take one woman out for dinner a month, then that's going to be the one date you have a month. Choose carefully. Because
great advice.
One, there's a pay gap.
Yeah.
Disparity wise. Two, we spend so much on skincare. And I gave him this argument. He threw it back to me, Andrew Tate style, and was like, we don't expect you to look like this. We think you look better without makeup. Yeah. You don't have to do all this. No. You do this no. for each other.
No.
We don't need. Yep. You don't need these nice clothes. We would rather you in t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard, it's like cutting the head off a snake and it growing back. Like, it's a really hard argument to go back against because yeah. you're just kind of like, you're right, but we are so inherently rewarded by the patriarchy by putting the work in that you don't know what's going on under the surface that I'm doing that is giving me a leg up.
Also, how different a day goes when you roll out of the house in a pair of sweatpants, no makeup on, versus when you dress to the nines. You could have the same exact day with an entirely different outcome.
Say it louder.
Free coffee.
Say it louder.
Lovely interactions with strangers. Yes. You drop your wallet, someone helps you. Yes. The sweatpant person
is ignored.
Is ignored.
Is there's absolutely no help
to be had for them.
I wore a fur coat the other night. I had valets complimenting me. I had waitresses. Yeah. I had hostesses. I had people in the street stopping me. I had people going like, fashionista yeah. in the house.
Yeah.
It was
clamoring.
Chris was like, this is getting outrageous. It's too much. I'll tell you what, you know who does what that doesn't happen? When I'm in a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, which one would you rather have on your arm?
Now that's the question. Now and I do have a very brilliant friend, a very beautiful friend, and she's worked out an arrangement with her partner.
Yeah.
He splits all of her hair appointments with her.
Yeah.
And the justification there is that one, she can give him haircuts, like when he needs to trim, cuts his hair. She'll do it.
Yeah.
So because of that, she's like, all right, fork it over.
Right.
And
right.
I think that is equity. That's equity. That's not equality. Equity. That's equity.
Yes.
It costs a lot of money to dye one's hair. We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know.
But
we do know.
We know. We're educated.
We're educated.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you, look at it from that vantage point as like, invest in me like stocks. Yeah. You want to preserve this. You want to have someone that eternally, when you walk into any room, all your bros are going to go, God damn.
Yeah.
You need to invest now.
Mm-hmm.
And that means fronting it up.
Yeah.
Keeping me happy.
Yeah.
Putting some money into the beauty piggy bank.
It's so true. God, this is so
funny. But no, there's a great comedian. I wish I could remember his name, but he has a bit that's like, I'm obsessed with the men who think they're low maintenance or just think that they're kind of asking for nothing by saying, I just love like a natural beauty. Like, I'm not asking for much. Like, I just like a woman who's just kind of like naturally good looking. And it's like,
of course,
you're actually asking for the highest tier.
Yeah.
You're asking for a woman who God just said,
it's you, mama.
It's you. Nothing else. You don't need anything else. And that is probably the rarest woman to find.
That's so true. I can only think of five. Angelina Jolie.
True. And that is the product of two movie stars.
Yeah.
Two movie stars.
That's not even a normal product.
And it's also rare that two movie stars come together and make a beautiful person. That's Have you true. Found that?
I'm really excited to see how all the stars that were born sort of in my youth are going to grow up to look like. You know, like Suri yes. Cruz dying to get a sense.
I'll tell you, she looks like an ordinary girl.
Wow.
The only ones that are guaranteed to be beautiful are those that are mixed race. Other than that, they really do just turn out kind of regular. And if you look at the parents of these stars, like have you looked at Zendaya's parents?
No.
That's just something regular. To Google. Just totally regular. Like the stars who are the most beautiful people in the world, their parents are so incredibly normal. It really takes Leonardo DiCaprio's parents is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
It really takes, I think, two total normies to create a beauty.
Wow. Our poor kids.
No, I mean, that's,
they'll be normal.
What's that movie? Sky High with the superheroes.
Yeah, Sky High.
Yes. And it was like you needed an ordinary and a superhero to make a superhero, but two superheroes can't come together to make another superhero.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Interesting with a eugenics sort of idea of the superhero.
I'm telling you.
Whoa. Was that a Disney Channel original movie or was that separate?
I think so. All I can remember is that Khloe Kardashian's friends came out of there.
Oh my God.
Yes. Malika and Malia, the double M's.
Also, who's watching? Nobody.
Who's watching this season?
Who's keeping up? Nobody.
Little soul is keeping up.
Don't know a soul.
That trailer looked
boring.
Boring.
They had to dangle Lamar like a fish on a hook, which doesn't even feel right.
Actually exploitative.
No, it is. Because all the trailers suggested, like, are they going to get back together? And it's like, what? What?
You threw Lamar back
you
at
threw,
us.
You threw him.
That's threw one him. Step away from throwing Kanye back at the mix.
I was just recently talking to somebody and they were like, I think he's going to be dead soon.
Shit.
Just that like things are clearly not going well.
I mean, crashing the Grammys was a move.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's you know, alleging that he's autistic on top of bipolar.
Mm.
I mean, I haven't even come on this pod and talked about my experience with Milo Yiannopoulos and Bianca Censori. I mean, I've really got to talk about that. This is an exclusive for the Argos, but I reached out to Bianca on LinkedIn.
Something that no one would ever guess.
Yeah, no. Vanity Fair asked me to kind of track her down for a profile, and I spent months trying to talk to her. But I found her initially through LinkedIn, got connected with Milo Yiannopoulos, who you might remember from Breitbart, far-right conservative outlet publication. Yeah. And he was in Kanye's employ for a long time as his kind of communications lead. And we went back and forth for so long, texting, voice memos, you name it, about talking to Bianca and like a full Vanity Fair spread. And then he kind of ghosted me, pulled the plug, unfortunately. But I got close.
It would have been so good.
I would love to know what's going on.
I know.
In that marital situation.
Yeah, me too. Shocking. It's crazy to think that Northwest knows her too.
I know.
Like, just she's in the mix.
Yeah. Northwest, like one of us.
Yeah.
Northwest.
Like our good friend, our child friend, who was just on the FKA Twigs album. Northwest. Do you know that's her? She's a feature on one of the songs in Japanese. Yes. Yes.
God, she's a star.
I know.
Have you listened to the Weeknd album?
No.
I mean, we're a couple of weeks behind now, but it's fabulous.
I'm back on music, so
same. I think I'm getting there.
I'm back.
Yeah, the week
all
brought
podcasts,
me.
And then now I'm back.
I know. I go in and out. But yeah. The Weeknd's last song on his most recent album,
yeah,
transitioning perfectly into the first song on his first mixtape.
Cool.
Being like a full circle
That's
moment.
That's so cute.
Well, it's all The Weeknd is dead. That's his whole thing. It's like he's killing off the artist project.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my
Which
God,
he's been
done.
Trying to do forever.
Yeah.
You know, the idol, least we forget.
Oh, good God.
That Rodeo Drive scene. I'm going to fucking drag her ass. Oh. Rodeo Drive. I'm never going to let us forget.
Yeah.
Actually, go back and listen to that episode, Argos. That was
that was a fun one.
That was a fun one.
Yeah.
And we had the original writer on, Dan Adler. Shout out.
But God, in such a different time when that show was airing. Wasn't it just a completely different world?
It really was. Things felt lighter.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
And they were.
It's been...
I mean, Biden was president.
Yeah, I know. That
the
angel.
Economy was on the up and up.
Yeah.
I mean, Ukraine war was happening, but I mean, pre-Gaza in this iteration.
Yeah.
I think actually it may have been the time of this profile that we're getting into.
Oh my God.
Maybe we stop. I've got to ask you your inspiration.
Okay.
I can't get ahead of ourselves.
I have it.
What?
I received a compliment this week that sort of, it's like the compliment to end all compliments.
Okay.
it was also not a compliment. Like, do you know when someone kind of like does, they like set up and then they deliver.
Right.
This one was just thrown in with other sentences.
Okay.
Not even really. I don't know if they knew it was a compliment, but they're talking. And they said, yeah, you would be a really hard person to be friends with if you're negative or insecure. And I said,
I
really stuck on that.
I'm choosing to take that as a compliment to myself.
You, I mean, absolutely.
Wow.
They're like, yeah, I just think that you would repel that energy.
And you have.
And I have.
In your adulthood.
It has felt like a big reckoning in these sort of late 20s of the things that used to fly don't fly.
Like, what's so funny about you is like, you have tried to hold on to the people that you are actively repelling.
Yes. Yes.
You are.
I think that is it.
It's reach and withdraw at the exact same time.
Yeah.
You're like, they're like, I can't do this. And you're like, wait, no, come back. And that, it's, wow.
I know. And it's felt free to let things repel.
Do you know what I've been thinking about, actually?
What?
It's a compliment that you gave me. And it was off air, I think.
Oh, my God.
Your roommates actually might have given me and you kind of like joined in.
Yeah.
But you once said to me that I would be a great boyfriend test.
Yes.
Love Island style. And it wasn't like necessarily like looks related or anything like that. You said it based on like my charisma.
Yeah.
And that has been playing in my mind all week. I've been having an ugly week. I've been having an attack of the uglies.
And we're both breaking out. Yeah.
Yeah. Attack of the uglies. And it's Valentine's Day. So romance is on the mind.
Yeah.
But that really stayed with me.
And I stand by that. I love a non-traditional compliment. It's like, you're beautiful. It's been done. It's been done.
No.
I don't want that.
I want something deeper.
I want something deeper. I want something that tells a story.
See me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I stand by that, which I really do, because I do feel it's like you walk into a room and the eyes find you. And I think a weak man couldn't help himself.
Wow. That's, I mean, I find that
a strong man should be so lucky, but a weak man definitely is not like hiding his, you know, his awe. And I feel that the women need to know.
This is going to be cut out. Do you know who was like trying to get with me at your wedding?
Oh my God. No, I know. I saw that.
Have we never talked about that?
Oh my God. No, he was completely struck. Certainly. And like, and yeah, we will have to cut this. But I remember seeing that. And I remember watching that happen live. But like 18,000 other things were happening. But I just remember being like, God damn it. Like, this is what happens because me and you don't move through the world like ball and like we have ball and chains.
No,
like
we don't.
We're like, you know, we're never like peacefully bowing out, and you were just living out loud, and he was loving it. He was completely loving it.
No, we will bleep.
Yeah,
but I remember having like an incident not too long ago where I think this city must be the hardest city to date in the world.
Yeah,
and I think I've told you this, but I went to a party with Chris and we kind of entered together, but separately. We immediately went our separate ways.
Of course.
But I thought the understanding there was that everyone knew we were together.
Yeah.
And we ended up in conversation with this very hot guy, like music producer, Silver Lake, gorgeous, well-dressed, ticked all the boxes. And I assumed he was definitely single. And I assumed that he knew I was with Chris, and I was for sure like a fish flapping on the concrete.
A matron.
Like, yeah, a matron.
In a Mew Mew.
In a Mew Mew. No, I wish I was a Mew Mew. And I was standing there and I kept trying to give him an out because I could tell that he was miserable in this conversation. You know, when someone is like looking around.
God,
and, like,
yeah.
He was like, so why did you move to San Diego? Like, what is, so... And I was like, oh, like just during the pandemic. Like,
you staring them dead in their eyes that you can't find.
He did not want to be there.
Yeah.
And yet it continued. It persisted.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is really, really terrible.
Yeah. Turn me loose.
And I realized towards the end that we were flirting.
Oh, no.
And he thought I was single.
Of course.
And this was a real conversation happening in real time.
Oh my God. Him trying to dazzle you.
And I was just like, I don't know how anyone connects in this town.
I know.
What he was saying about making it in music. I was about surfing, about surfing the waves. I was about to drown.
Yeah, of course. I tend to get into hot water, speaking of waves, because I go straight for the jugular in terms of personal questions. It's sort of like, I go in straight away.
Never forget the mother.
I know.
Never forget.
And this was my real lesson. Like, do you know when you learn a lesson and you're like, that's a classic lesson. That's something where it's like, you know, really take that in because you learned something and don't do this again.
What did you say?
I was talking to this fellow and I do mean it. Like, you know, I tend to, when I'm engaged with someone one-on-one, I'm sort of like, tell me everything about you. Like, I'm completely here. I'm totally present with you. And I want to know, you know, your fears, your loves, your big days, your low days. And this one was the most extreme example in that I was feeling particularly rambunctious this day. And I'm talking to this guy and I was like, what's your mom like? Like, you know, what's your mom like? And he was like, well, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't say anything, kind of walks away. And I was like, all right, whatever. No problem.
I'll get him next time.
And then I was talking to someone else that knew him and she was like, yeah, I know he's had a brutal year. His mom took her own life and it's been really, really hard. Like, and I was like, oh, fuck me. I really should be more careful. There's a reason they call them personal questions.
It's just to go from like, hey, nice to meet you, to what is your mother like?
Yeah.
Is she a kind woman?
Yeah. Are you close?
I just don't know how you make that connection.
And I usually find my way, but this one I was sort of in the dark reaching.
It just are so many steps. Like when, you know, there is, you know, what college did you go to? What major? What do you do even?
That's the one I think I'm trying to avoid the most.
What do you
really
do?
What do you do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It feels...
Where do you live?
Yeah. It just, some of those feel, and I can feel when it's happening. I'm like, this is not generative. This isn't going anywhere. Mm. They're going to give me their job description. I'm going to give them mine. And then we're no closer than we were 5 minutes
right,
ago.
Right, right.
How can we jump over that?
Yeah.
Into something real. But then it's also, some people do define themselves by their jobs. So it's also like, if you ask them like, what do you do for fun? Some people are like, I don't do anything for fun. And then it's awkward.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people
don't have hobbies.
Myself included, love to scroll. That is what we do for fun.
I know. What's inspiring you?
You know what's inspiring me? Mm-hmm. Is actually something from a profile that we read. Oh. The Addison Rae profile.
I've been thinking about it a lot.
I've been thinking about it a lot. There's a quote that she said, something like, I love glamour. And why that's been inspiring me is because I grew up in New Zealand, a famously kind of like unglamorous country, in a very like pick me environment before we had a term for it. Mm. It was like, I used to hide my makeup before my friends came over because I like didn't want them to know I had any.
Wait, can I have a question?
Yes,
clarifying
please.
Question. Of course. What was the hottest girl in your high school? What did they look like? Because I'm learning that it's completely different. Like in the Bay Area, no makeup sweatshirt is the hottest girl in school, like hiking.
No makeup, sweatshirt, ponytail, great at sport.
Wow.
For sure.
Unfathomable.
So like glamour didn't really enter the equation. And I grew up with a very glamorous mother. Like she, red lipstick, leopard print, leather, fur at all times. Like, and I was embarrassed by that because I was like, where's the au naturel, speaking of being natural, where's the au naturel, you know, vibes? You're supposed to be hot without trying, mama. Haven't you heard?
Haven't
it's
you
so
heard?
Embarrassing to care. And yet I couldn't escape my kind of like natural inclination to be glamour. Like I think that like I am inherently, I mean, look at my nails.
Yeah.
Look at
I
my nails right now.
I love them. God, I love them. I haven't been able to look at anything else,
a
actually.
A fluoro bright pink.
Yeah.
I am inherently glamour. And for someone to claim that, to just be like, I love it and I live for it and there's nothing that brings me more joy in the world than glamour, it did something to me. It healed something within me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fucking A, why do we fear overdressing?
I know.
Why do we fear a red lip when the sun's out? Why can't I have a hairstyle that is loud?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I wear straight hair all the time? Because I fear that curls are too loud on me. You know,
I know
this.
We had a whole discussion where you said I can never do them.
Yes. You know.
I don't think I've ever seen you with them.
God, no. And you may never.
Don't devastate me this early in the day.
It liberated me, that quote.
Yeah.
I do respect that girl for all the critique I threw her way in that episode. I really do. And I was just kind of like, that really set me free.
And it was paired with these amazing visuals of her showing up to work in a pleaser heel
and
a tiny short, running into the room screaming boys are stupid. It's fabulous.
It's fabulous. It's tasty. It's tangible.
Yeah.
And it's like, never let someone like dull your shine.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the girl that, and you like, look, I say it a million times, women are multidimensional. You can hike and you can wear the pleaser heel. Like yeah. You can do anything you want, but you don't have to subscribe to the identity of just being the outdoorsy ponytail type.
Thank God.
I'm going to be in New Zealand very soon.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, these nails are too loud for New Zealand. That was mm-hmm. my literal thought. I was like, oh God, I'm going to go for lunch with my friends from home who have an au naturel nail, no, nothing on.
Yeah.
Literally their natural nails. And they're going to be like, Jesus. And I was like, oh fuck. I really should try and match their freak.
Yeah.
And keep it classic and normal and chill and whatever. And then I was like, actually, no.
Throw them all for a loop.
Because I'm glamour.
Yeah. You are glamour. You are. You live it. You don't put it on like a costume.
I live it. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Look around.
With two fluffy cats.
Yeah.
Well, today we're talking about an outdoorsy girl.
Oh my God. We are talking
about. We're talking about the outdoorsiest. The most
outdoorsy girl.
Orlando Bloom.
Doesn't get more outdoorsy than Mr. Bloom.
No, I mean, as of late, really. The latest rebrand, the thing that he's here to promote is living on the edge.
Being outdoors.
Being yeah. outdoors.
Yeah.
Flying through the cliffside in a squirrel suit.
I mean, this is a particularly special profile.
Because it was written by one Beatrice Hazelhurst.
We've never done this before.
We've never done this before.
I am embarrassed. I'm going to start there. We're starting there.
You shouldn't be, because I could not be more excited. And you did a beautiful job here.
So people don't know this, I've realized, is that we, you know, we oscillate every single episode you yeah. present or I present. We go back and forth and it's your turn
yeah.
this week. And we were like, okay, why don't you do one of mine? So you're presenting my work.
And it's amazing because it does feel like I have you in a straitjacket and now you have to listen to me. But I love Beatrice's writing. I always read your articles. You always respond in the same way, which is like, you crazy person. What are you doing? What a waste of your time.
Close
the like tab. How, yeah, stop, stop, stop. I read them top to bottom. And then sometimes I read them again because I love your work. It is dynamic. It's lively. It's never what I expect. It's funny. Your voice shines through and it's just like always, always a joy.
Oh my God. Now I know you're lying.
No, 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 no. Sorry. Unfortunately, I'm being truthful. I'm being genuine here.
Do you want me to explain
yeah.
about the reason this profile became significant? Because it's not my favorite profile. It's not my best work. I will say like top line.
No, and that would be silly if we picked that.
Right. This profile went really viral because of something Orlando said. And I've talked about it on a podcast before. But this profile, I think, paid me $300. I really like, I feel like I banged it out. But it was a fascinating interview and we'll talk about it going through.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh my God.
And he is, oh, talk about charisma.
Yeah. What, before we dive in, I'd love to know sort of your impression.
Nicest man on the planet. Very engaging. Did not stop talking. Was very tough for me to get a word in. I won't lie.
Oh.
Like almost like I couldn't ask a question because he would just go and go and go. He was just a delight. Like delight is the word. Loves New Zealand more than anyone I've ever met. My God.
Oh, wow.
Knew everything about it from filming Lord of the Rings.
That's so sweet.
Just the greatest person ever. And I can see why. And I talk about it in this profile. I can see why he's never had any type of run-in with cancel culture.
Yeah.
He has just...
He feels uncancelable to
uncancelable.
Me.
He's just like flown above the line forever, which is so rare for a man in Hollywood.
Yeah. Truly, truly rare.
For this long, you know? Yeah. You know that my best and possibly only asset is my hair.
Oh my God, we can't go anywhere without you getting compliments.
Only because of the Megastar flat iron from New Me. I'm telling you, dude, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to throw some brands out. I used to be a GHD girl. I used to be a Harry Josh girl. I am only...
Chi?
What?
A Chi girl.
I used to be a Chi girl too.
Yeah, I know.
From now on, I'm only a New Me girl. I'm only a New Me Megastar flat iron girl. I'm telling you, it's the tourmaline technology, if you haven't heard of that, neither had I. It locks in moisture as it passes through your hair. So your hair doesn't get dry. It doesn't get fried. You can still control the heat.
And the infrared light strip prevents damage.
Oh, yeah.
Which is huge. So you can straighten as much as you want without having to worry about frying your ends.
This is an ad, but I'm being so genuine. This is such a good product.
Oh, and you're not the only one. I mean, it has 4.9 stars and 28,000 reviews.
28,000 You're in good company. I know that you have an old rusty straightener right now and you need an upgrade, and this is it. You can get 15% off the Megastar Flat Iron with the code UNCOVER. N-U-M-E care.com with the code UNCOVER.
Well, I want to give a little backstory on Orlando Jonathan Blanchard Copeland Bloom.
That's really hot.
Which is his full name. Because I'm sure for those listening, everyone does, I feel, have some sort of awareness of him, some sort of experience with him.
Yeah.
For many, a first crush, a first celebrity crush.
Definitely.
I don't know a single person who saw Pirates of the Caribbean who wasn't head over heels.
Are you an Aragorn or are you a Legolas?
Oh, I'm an Aragorn. But
it kind of surprises me though, because you're with a Legolas.
Is that true?
That is true.
I guess that is true. I also haven't seen the movies in a long time.
Yeah.
And can you believe?
And you're not attracted to Justin Baldoni, who's an Aragorn.
No. Yeah, I'm not attracted to him at all. Who's another one? Who are some other examples?
Of an Aragorn or a Legolas?
Of an Aragorn.
Another Aragorn would be...
I feel like Harris Dickinson is a Legolas.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then an Aragorn would be like, like a Henry Cavill. Oh. No, grislier.
Can you believe, and I know that you can because you wrote about it, that was his breakout role. His breakout, 2 days after graduating from theater school, was landing Lord of the Rings. One of the highest grossing, like most Oscar nominated, only to be almost upseated by Emilia Perez this year.
We always find our way back to relevance somehow, don't we?
I know. But that was his breakout role.
It's insane.
It is insane. And then came Pirates of the Caribbean. But I mean, my God, he has an interesting life.
And the fact that Pirates of the Caribbean was another one that he was like, oh, I don't know if I should take this. Like, yeah. It's based on a Disney ride. Like, biggest like grossing film of all biggest, time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I saw it in theaters 3 times.
Oh my God. I mean, we've waxed lyrical so many times about Keira Knightley's hotness.
I swear to God, we just talked about this.
We can't stop talking about
it. I know. And who can? But he has an interesting life, which I also didn't realize as I was doing the research. I wanted to really go in here. He found out that his dad, who he thought to be his dad, was not his dad.
I didn't know that.
As a youth. Yes. He thought that his father was his mother's husband, who was a South African-born anti-apartheid novelist named Harry Bloom. He died when Orlando was 4 years old. He found out years later that his actual father, his biological father, was a family friend.
Wow. He does need a movie based on his life.
Yeah, he absolutely does. I don't know how you would feel about it, but I've always had this like completely unfounded belief that's probably going to offend a lot of people, that if I had found out that I was adopted, I wouldn't be upset about it. I just feel like that wouldn't shake me in the way that it seems to on Disney Channel movies.
I think it's because you're so fiercely independent.
Yeah.
You have such a strong sense of self.
My identity wasn't like wrapped up in
your
all
parents.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I've always been like, what? Like, what's the whole, like, people like falling to their knees and screaming. Like, how could you, like, how, what do you mean I was adopted? It's like, okay, well, everything still happened the same. Like, you're fine.
Yeah. I wonder if for a lot of people it's the lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Like, it's like, how could you hide this from me?
Could be.
It's pretty crazy. The drama of it being a family friend, though, is wild.
Yes.
It's not like I went through the adoption process.
No.
And I found you.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like...
I secretly made you. Yeah. I know. And so, yeah, so we talked about it. Lord of the Rings came in 2001. In 2002, he was voted Teen People's 25 Hottest Stars Under 25, even though he was 25 at the time. Just under the wire. In 2006, he was the most Googled male.
I think we forget how hot he was to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, yes. And when I was assigned this, like, obviously I was excited, but when I told other people, their reactions really took me back.
Well, and by 2007, he had been in 4 of the top grossing films of all time. So he was like commercially everywhere as well. It wasn't just that he was like so hot, so cute,
so scraggly. I think Timothée Chalamet is the only comp.
Yeah.
If you look at someone like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Call Me By Your Name and Dune.
Yeah, totally, totally. And all together, all like within a couple of years, rapid succession. That's so true. And I do think that people will clamor in 10 years to interview him. Yeah. But they won't do it as well as you.
Wait, and question. Would you love to interview him?
I would. Yeah. I totally would. Yeah. Oh my God. I think I would be starstruck. This is one of the few that would get me.
I think so too.
Because it has so much, there are roots to my childhood, truly.
Timothy?
Yeah. Or no, Orlando Bloom.
Oh, I was asking about Timothy.
Oh. Yeah, I would interview him.
Would you be starstruck?
No. No. I'm too close to him. Mm. I like know people that, no, like someone I went to high school with was his roommate. Like it's like he feels like he's stepped on this earthly plane with me.
Right. Yep.
And you know, similar ages, like Orlando, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Like I'm really never in the company of like 40 plus year old men, you know?
And you should be.
And I should be. I mean, I'd kill. let's be real.
When Chris Pine started dating that 30 year old, yeah. Chris was like, that's crazy. He's an old man. And I was like,
sit
no,
down.
No, he's
Chris.
Not. No, he's not. No, and Chris was not. Like, would you date him? And I was like, I wouldn't think twice, Papa. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'd be out there like a shot. I'd be out of that restaurant job and into that Los Feliz house.
Yeah. Enjoying life for once. Off the feet.
Isn't that so funny that he was really like taken aback that Chris Pine was 45?
That's so
with
funny.
A 30-year-old?
I wonder what they look like to them. You know, it's like
these
what,
men.
Yeah, what these men look like to a man that's just like 15 years younger.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, ugh.
I wonder what a 30-year-old man looks like to a 45-year-old man.
Do they look and are they like baby or are they like just unaware in the way that we are?
Or are they like peer? Like, that's my boy.
That's, yeah.
I mean, Leo DiCaprio certainly is like peer.
Well, it's interesting because it's like we tend to hate younger women because obviously youth is fetishized in this culture. For men, it's almost like the 45-year-old is the one that they hate because they're stepping into their hot older years, their salt and pepper beards. It's like, I don't think a 30-year-old man is looking at a 16-year-old boy and being like, oh.
What I wouldn't give.
What I wouldn't give to go back.
But then we, I think more and more, aren't looking at 24 and being like,
yeah,
what I wouldn't give.
Well, no, I feel I wouldn't go back. I don't want to go back.
You couldn't pay me.
No, I don't want to go back. I'm happy where I am.
Also, speaking of Addison too, and thinking of that profile and how she like doesn't feel sadness. I just remember 24 so clearly. And how I felt so much sadness, what I was going through with like friendship breakups and real breakups.
Yeah.
And
an onslaught of sadness.
So much sadness. That was when I had $9 to my name. Like I was in so much debt. Like I really cut her a lot of slack during that profile being like, and she's only 24, but I remember it. And I was really fucked up then.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to relate to it.
No, of course. Maybe it'll just be delayed then. It's like if you became TikTok famous, you also wouldn't. You wouldn't have had $9 in your bank account to be sure.
What's our favorite saying?
Fame
arrests you when it arrives.
Fame arrests you when it arrives.
Yeah,
of course. And I'm arrested by Orlando Bloom. This was the cover of Flaunt magazine, a very, very chic publication based in LA. The headline reads, "Unfurling that innermost lair."
Yeah, I never understood that.
Unfurling the innermost lair. Well, he's naked.
He is nude.
He's nude and he's got the cutest little sunburst tattoo on his tummy.
He does.
I love it. This is written by Beatrice Hazelhurst.
Oh my God.
A brilliant author. She's written for the New York Times, the LA Times, Vanity Fair, Vogue. I mean, everywhere under the sun.
Yeah.
She's a host, a presenter, and...
You're actually doing it.
Yeah, of course. Me, like, looking up the notes. No, I have this all committed to memory. Also, she has a brilliant story that's currently under option. So stay tuned, everyone.
Oh my God. Wow. You're really leaning in. I'm so impressed.
And I mean, I feel that I should just dive in. The profile opens thus.
Jesus.
On an unseasonably chilly evening in the summer of 2009, superstar actor Orlando Bloom's home was targeted by a group of thieving teenagers. At the time, Bloom's films were among the biggest box office hits in history, and the 32-year-old movie star had commemorated each project with a rare Rolex watch. When the bling ring made off with a $500,000 score,
insane,
that night, Bloom was forced to make a choice: trust in the investigative prowess of the LAPD or gather the evidence himself, infiltrating Los Angeles's underground luxury watch market while wearing a wire. He decided on the latter. "I have a pretty high tolerance for things, which probably helped me survive this long," Bloom says. "You could do a movie about me getting my watches back, and I met some really interesting characters along the way. Honestly, human beings are fantastic and fascinating to me. Everyone's just trying to survive and get it done, right?
Okay.
Say more.
You want to hear what happened with this?
Of course.
He went on James Corden this week that this profile came out and had to talk about this based on this profile.
Oh my God.
Had to relay this anecdote, which drove me insane because I really wanted to take this story and blow it up and tell it for real.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to like deep dive into this investigation. And in fact, I sold it to the LA Times. But because he went on James Corden, he wasn't interested in like, or his team, like kind of blocked me from telling it. So it didn't move forward.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so juicy. It's fascinating.
The best story.
Orlando ever. Bloom with a wire on.
In the underground LA luxury watch market.
Which like if you've ever walked around downtown and been like, what's going on in these buildings? Imagine.
And he was just like, yeah, I've never talked about this. So crazy. Yeah, I got my Rolexes back from the bling ring.
That's crazy. And no one got anything back, I think.
He was the only one.
Oh my God.
And it was because he literally took matters into his own hands.
A lesson we learned time and time again.
Yeah. And he was the only male target.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense though. It's like if they know anyone, it's Orlando Bloom.
Right.
Beatrice goes on to write, Orlando Bloom feels very much the Pollyanna. And for the uninformed, she is the orphan heroine of the
eponymous.
Every time it trips me up. And I'm not afraid to.
You know what eponymous.
I do. Yeah. It's like the name is the name.
The name is the name. The
Beyonce. Yeah.
Yeah.
Novel, who remains positive even when crippled by a car. Which bears a certain similarity to Bloom. The actor's Wikipedia page is littered with broken bones. Nose, rugby, right leg, skiing, left leg, motorbike, right wrist, snowboarding, ribs, shooting. You know he broke his back and was told he was never going to walk again, says an admirer of Bloom's, who once had his poster pasted to her wall. I did not know this fact, but it checks out.
He broke, yeah, every fucking bone over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it comes through that he's a bit of a daredevil.
He is.
He is here to promote sort of Orlando Bloom Daredevil as the new project, as the new look.
His career has been like gearing up for this.
Yeah.
Working towards a show where he like jumps off things. Like skydives, deep dives in the ocean.
Yeah. And that is one of two sort of things that's like going on right now. So it's Orlando Bloom To the Edge. It was a Peacock original series and it premiered in 2024.
Yeah.
It's about self-discovery as much as it is about extreme sports. And then also Carnival Row, which if you're not familiar, was canceled after two seasons, unfortunately. It's him and Cara Delevingne in an interesting haircut. This is what I'll say. More and more, I love something new. Everything is IP now. Yeah. I like to see something
different.
Different. Something exciting.
Yeah.
Sort of fairies in an area.
Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, people with horns.
It was on Amazon.
I'm sure he was great in it, but it wasn't long for this world. So you catch him here and you kind of give us a little background. Lord of the Rings, his first job, Pirates of the Caribbean. He was on Broadway as Romeo and Juliet. I think he's a perfect Romeo. He is like such a lover boy.
He's such a lover boy.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean brought in a combined $6 billion, which I just feel like has to be called out. That is so much money.
That is so much money.
$6 billion.
God.
It's a bigger GDP of some countries.
And because of that, he is known like worldwide. Globally, Orlando Bloom is known.
Yes. Well, he talked about to me, LOL.
Yeah.
He talked about to me how stressful it was to become so ubiquitous so quickly with the success of all these projects. And he watched all these people around him, his co-stars, his contemporaries, whatever, just go down one after the other, get taken down by court of public opinion, the press, what have you. And so he responded by just kind of hiding. Like he really became a recluse. And there were many years, probably during like the Miranda Kerr relationship, where you didn't see a lot of Orlando. And he was like, it's like getting into a burning vehicle, he describes of fame. You just got to make sure you've got a safety team because basically you have to have a fire retardant suit on, a helmet, the gloves. You've got to get the suit on and everyone's going to go, oh my God, it's on fire. Look at it. Anyone who tells you different, I think, has maybe drunk the Kool-Aid or bought the wrong ticket because it's a job.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a really interesting way to look at it. He's like, you literally have to have a team in place.
Yeah.
To protect you because you're on fire at all times. It never goes out.
Yeah. That's scary to think about it that way. He seems very practical. Like he lives in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so interesting. There are profiles, and I think we could like split these literally into two categories where people talk about this as a craft and people talk about this as a job.
Right.
And they're like two different schools of thought.
Which is interesting because he went to drama school. Like he's very trained.
He's trained. Yeah. He's trained. And he clearly takes it seriously. Like he wants to push himself creatively and do things. And as you said, like he's managed to have decades of fame without incurring any severe burns. Beatrice writes, a real accomplishment if you consider our quick draw culture of condemnation. I mean, he is a Christian?
No. He's a Buddhist.
Oh, yes.
He's been a Buddhist for a long time, despite being baptized by the Archbishop of Canterbury, which is like the highest.
Yeah, that's the highest honor. The
highest honor of any Christian on the planet.
Obsessed with him being like, not at now.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one. But I just was obsessed with this quote because he was like to me, I respect all religions and you can't knock Jesus.
Smart business.
But ultimately, I think that the responsibility of my life lies within me. And I'm not going to look outside of my life for somebody to say, yeah, you're saved.
That's so good.
That's a fucking mic drop moment.
Yeah.
Like if the Uggos can take anything away from anything we've said, obviously we respect all the religions too.
Oh, but certainly.
But to look inward and save yourself, I mean, take that from Orlando Bloom.
That is so good. I think when you have that feeling that it's you. It all comes from you. You're the change you wish to see. Life looks more the way you want it to, I think, at every turn. You don't have that thing where you look back and you're like, what did I do it all for?
Exactly.
To be good?
Like, to be good. For like some validation from some kind of nebulous concept.
For fame. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I know. And I also think he is a really healthy, he just seems to be very healthy.
He's so grounded.
He talks about how envy is not something, competition is not something that he really likes to feel.
Yeah.
The quote here is, I think there's a lot of competition in our industry, absolutely, but I've never been trying to compete with anyone other than myself. Someone like Tom Cruise is that sort of movie star idea, and that's a life I'm not sure what it must be like for sometimes in his mind.
Mm.
I try to have understanding for everybody's process because mine has also been really unique also.
Yeah.
And I think that is the way to sustain anything. It's being in competition with no one but oneself.
I also found him very self-aware in the sense that he's like, I am a Brit and our whole connection point with each other is complaining and being negative. And he was like, I am so positive. I'm just like unendingly optimistic. And I know that pisses them off. Yeah. I know that is a threat to them. And I'm just still not going to do it.
He repels
the insecure. He was like, I'm not going to be envious. I refuse.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
I also think that sometimes people themselves are doing better than they think. I think that it's one thing like true envy of like, I want what you have. I think I should have what you have. And then I think that like, it's totally natural to experience that thing of like when someone is doing something amazing, it makes you look inward and think like, oh, like I could be doing more. I could be doing better. The like true envy of like, I want that.
Yeah.
I want what you have. It's like, it's apples and oranges. It doesn't even make any sense.
It's so true.
It's like, you don't even know what they have. You know what their social media posts show that they have.
Dude, I keep bringing up this goddamn interview with Emma Chamberlain, but she said something that really resonated with me about this too. Talking about competition in the industry and how she absolutely like doesn't feel it. She was like, all that matters to me is my quality of life. That is the only thing that is worth comparing. She was like, I'm not going to compare the bigger job, the bigger paycheck, anything. Like, and I sometimes feel that because I look at people who have amazing media roles or getting the big byline or whatever, the, you know, a job that I'm like, fuck, that would be so sick. That is kind of the dream job. And then I think about what their quality of life must look like with that job or what have you. And I'm like, that's actually not something I think I would enjoy.
Yes.
So many people envy that life.
Yeah.
But if you turn the camera off, what does that life look like behind the scenes? And is that something that you would want day to day? I'm not sure.
It's really important to remember that. And Orlando clearly knows that in his bones.
I found really interesting. He wasn't shy about dropping names. I've noticed that a lot of celebrities will do this as kind of like a way to validate themselves. They'll like bring up other people. He didn't do that. He was more so talking about the fact that he got an enormous education from people like Ian McKellen and Viggo Mortensen, who plays Aragorn. And Johnny Depp was the reason that he took the job of Pirates of the Caribbean. Like he was giving kudos and credit to these actors. It wasn't like, oh, in the time that I worked friend. With. Yeah, my friend Johnny. It was really like, without them, I wouldn't have this career. Like yeah. genuinely giving them credit is almost as if he was like accepting an award. And I was really like taken with that. He refers to the likes of Peter Jackson, obviously the director of Lord of the Rings, or Jeffrey Rush with such reverence, it's easy to forget these men were ultimately, well, his co-workers. In fact, it was out of sheer respect for Rush that a dubious Bloom even read the script for Pirates of the Caribbean, then a concept based on a Disneyland ride, before the King of Cool, Johnny Depp, brought it all home. Johnny was the bench for any artistic endeavor, Bloom says. I was like, oh, just to be on set and see how this cat operates would be an education. He like really is just yeah. giving him his flowers.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also managed to walk away sort of unscathed from the Johnny Depp, Amber Heard.
Everything. For sure.
Like, nobody looks to Orlando Bloom to pay for anybody's crimes.
There's something about him too that does seem to be underdogian.
Yeah.
Like he feels like an underdog no matter how successful he is.
It's like a regular person that got famous.
Right.
Versus like a famous person that is famous. Born to be famous.
Johnny Depp is a famous person who is famous.
Yes.
Leo DiCaprio is a famous person who is famous.
Yep. I mean, like Jennifer Lawrence at the beginning
was
very much like an ordinary person that was looking around going like, hey guys, what's like, what is all this?
Right.
We are now get into sort of the beginning of Carnival Row, which was shooting in Prague, so chic, in March of 2020, when I found this so funny.
What?
Orlando Bloom contacted like the head of Amazon Studios to say, listen, I'm not afraid of COVID-19 at all. He says, if you want us to hang, I'm down because I love what you're doing and I don't see it as a big threat. You go on to write, but Bloom's optimism was no match for the spread of COVID-19. And within weeks, he was quarantined in a two-bedroom with fiance Katy Perry. Together, as the pair navigated Perry's pregnancy and birth of their first child, Daisy Dove, Bloom considered his next move.
Wait, how do you feel about the name Daisy Dove? I think about it a lot.
I mean, it's a celebrity child name. Daisy Dove.
I really love the name Dove.
Dove is really cute.
It's good, isn't
Dove
it?
Dove is super cute. Yeah. I know, something to put in your back pocket.
Put that in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
For a future cat.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get to Katy, which is what really I've been so excited because they are such an unlikely match to me.
Yes.
It feels shocking. And for many years, I didn't believe they were together.
It was just such a big swing from Russell Brand. I mean, they're both obviously, you know, actors, they're both British, they have that in common. But outside of that, I mean, Russell Brand is the classic Brit in that he is so sardonic, he is so cynical, he is so like negative and dark and feels like dark-sided despite his recent journey into Christianity and MAGAism.
Yeah.
But like Orlando just is so light and he's so genuine.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, wow, I really thought Katy was this kind of like indie sleaze queen pop princess girl.
Yeah.
And she was going to end up with someone who was very like alt-y in that way.
Yeah.
Not like the blockbuster heartthrob. And so it really surprised me too. It still kind of does surprise me.
I was like, where did they meet? It was a 2016 Golden Globes after party.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Over like a burger or something, an In-N-Out burger. Like it really was something.
And they left the event together.
Hot.
How fun.
I know.
That's so sweet. But yeah,
I so see it now, like meeting him and how alive he is. And I wouldn't describe him as like funny.
Yeah.
But she's funny.
Yes.
And I can see him laughing.
I think probably he's laughing. I think she keeps him laughing.
I think so.
Do you know when they got engaged?
No.
Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
got engaged on Valentine's Day. So those are two people that celebrate it.
For sure.
There's something about that feels very like vintage classic fun to me. Like a Valentine's Day engagement.
I do love that. That is so sexy.
Yeah, it's fun. And their daughter was born in 2020. So they really navigated like early parenthood, all of these like crazy milestones together in quarantine. And then he had this idea for his next move. The first idea was that he was going to do, it was going to be unscripted in some way. It's like Orlando Bloom as Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. He wanted a reality show.
And the first idea was traveling the blue zones, which are the like zones where there are the most elderly people, healthiest people, just like health thrives in these areas.
Yeah, people who like don't die. Yeah.
And we're all curious about that for sure.
Yeah.
Us with our Diet Cokes in hand.
It didn't sell.
No. It didn't sell. It was rejected. He decided, he's 46 at this moment in time, that he was going to learn how to free dive. He was going to parachute. He was going to jump.
God, free diving.
No. No.
There is nothing. There is just truly nothing that sounds worse to me.
I agree completely. And there is such freedom to me of these things that I know are not on the menu for me.
No.
I will not do it.
I am so claustrophobic that the idea, sometimes I think about Hot Ones and I get claustrophobic because the idea of spice and not breathing. Do you know that people can go into actual panic attacks because their brain, like it's a signal to the brain that they can't breathe.
Oh my God.
And so they can actually like freak the fuck out.
Because the body wants to live. So when you're doing things that are giving it a lot of signs externally that it's not going to live, it panics.
Yeah. This question.
Yeah.
So now that Orlando has conquered physical fear, what still scares him? That's like something my therapist would ask. He laughs. I think not making good on a promise I've made to myself. That really scares me. To fulfill whatever that mission is for myself and to maintain a sense of dignity and not let the wheels fall off. That's a good answer.
Yeah. That's really interesting. That is all about the self. It's like not external.
Maintain dignity.
Deep.
He's deep. Yeah.
And here we talk. I mean,
we get into the whole reason it went viral to begin with.
I know. So you go to Katy Perry because, I also would be wondering as a father to a baby with his wife here, how they might be feeling about him jumping off of cliffs.
Yes. And beyond that, I was really interested in how they navigate their relationship as two extremely famous people and two creatively famous people, like people who are in the public eye as creatives. It's just like fascinating.
And in different arenas.
In different arenas.
It's not two songwriters in the studio together.
Exactly. Or two actors who understand going away for 3 months at a time and being on set. They do completely different things.
Yeah.
And I also said that to him and I was like, look, I could not be with another creative. I would feel competitive. Being with another writer would drive me insane.
Yeah. I think it would just cause strange dynamics.
Right.
I think it would bring strange dynamics. It would welcome really strange dynamics.
For sure.
Of like if you're in a down period and they're in an up period, like even the most advanced and enlightened person would have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
And then you can't
maintain your self-esteem.
Like, yeah.
It's so tough. And he was like, we are in two very different pools and that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things are really, really, really challenging. I won't lie. We definitely battle with our emotions and creativity, but I think we're both aware of how blessed we are to have uniquely connected in a way that we did at the time that we did. And there's definitely never a dull moment. So the background to this quote is that he said, sometimes things are really, 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 really challenging. Four reallys. And I knew the minute he said it that this was going to get blown up.
Yeah, this is the pull out.
And I liked him so much that I didn't want that to happen. I really didn't want that to happen to him, even though I knew it would be so good for the magazine. It would probably be good for me. Like everything, it's always good when an article gets traction that you've written. So I removed a really. And then sure enough, the Daily Mail, The Sun, The Mirror, Page Six, in the headline, really, really, really challenging.
Imagine if that fourth really had been there.
Imagine if the fourth really had been there. Orlando Bloom on marriage to Katy Perry. Really, really, really challenging.
And it makes sense. It's like, this is the thing that no one ever says out loud. No. And that's why it's so delicious to hear.
I've thought a lot about whether she would feel a type of way reading that or hearing that, or if it would be water off a duck's back. And I think about if I heard Chris say that, if our relationship is really, really, really challenging, how I would feel. And I just don't know. Like, I still don't know.
I have to believe that she would know what he means.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Because I think with me and Chris, I would be like, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
What do you
and
mean?
And now I've learned something new and I'm not happy.
Right. Right. What are you referring
what
to?
What are you referring to? Yeah, I agree. I think that would be the real betrayal. But here, there has to be like a sense of there. I gotta believe.
Yeah.
They're still together. So.
She's like, you're jumping off planes. That's really fucking challenging.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm
releasing an album that's not doing well.
No. He is also known and has been a UNICEF representative like since the beginning of his fame.
He's kind of an amazing guy.
I know. And this is the thing. It's like people all the time get involved with charities to like scrub their image after something bad happens or
virtue signaling.
Yeah. But he has been involved since the very beginning.
Yeah.
Since way before he had to.
As soon as he got any kind of notoriety, he was like out there. I have to be out there with UNICEF. Yes.
Yeah. Which is very sweet. And he talks about how he was like really, really struck by things that he saw. He went to the Ukrainian border as like tensions with Russia were mounting. And he saw sort of a mom, baby in one arm, toddler nearby, hauling off with like a suitcase down cobblestone roads. And he said, it's a perspective you can't unsee. You just go, wait, what? What are they going to do? You can't fathom. It creates an imprint in your soul and your heart that you hold on to. What more can we do there?
Yeah.
And I think that's real.
I can't even imagine seeing that. Being at a war zone and seeing people leaving. Yeah. Leaving their husbands behind with children under their arm.
Yeah. I mean, I really do think, yeah, it separates people who have seen it firsthand and those that have only like read about it in fiction books. You just like, you can't have you the can't. Same perspective. It's yeah. like, my mom couldn't get down on the floor with me crying in colds because the jeans didn't fit. She's like,
I'm sorry.
I had friends die. Yeah. Like, get up.
I know.
It's real.
I mean, Kourtney Kardashian, without that perspective, said Kim, people are dying.
Yeah.
Hats off to her.
She's always had perspective. We have to give her that. And then we sort of reach the end. And I love where you leave us. I found this to be such an interesting observation that the word survival appeared no less than 8 times throughout the transcript of your interview with Orlando Bloom, which really says something about where his mind is at. And he is, it's like the first quote I think you use of his is like about like, you know, we're all
trying to survive.
We're all trying to survive, right?
He said that in relation to being robbed mm-hmm. and then recovering his Rolexes. Like the people who are selling them on the underground market, selling stolen property, are trying to survive.
Yeah.
I, the person wearing a wire to buy them, are trying to survive. The people who robbed me to get them are trying to survive. We're all in this little ecosystem trying to survive.
And it's so like, true.
Talk about perspective.
Like, yes. Yes.
Sorry, continue.
He has it. He has it in droves. You're right. Long before the summer of 2009, Orlando Bloom decided to make a case for a constant and full life, no matter how painful. So far, the evidence is compelling. He says, I think we're all just humans navigating. We have to learn to accept each other, and I think everybody's fallible. Everybody's flawed, and everybody's just looking to improve. I'm personally trying to evolve, attain enlightenment in this lifetime. I'm trying. I keep trying. Here I am. A powerful way to end.
Here he is.
And he means it with enlightenment. He's a Buddhist. He's trying to get there. He's trying to get under that tree.
I think so.
Cross-legged.
I mean, these photos, and we'll share them. I know,
my God.
They're like nothing you've ever seen.
They are amazing.
He is in mini shorts. He's doing high socks.
Yeah.
He is
in a mesh shirt.
Shirtless, in just underwear and socks and sandals.
Yeah.
It's he's in a fluffy pink sweater. It does not get better than this.
I know. It really, yeah, it's everything you want and nothing you get.
And nothing you usually get.
Yeah, it's so exciting. You did a beautiful job here.
LOL.
You did a beautiful job.
I mean, it was just one of my favorite interviews.
Yeah.
That I've ever had.
Yeah.
He was absolutely fabulous. He's one of the nicest people I've ever talked to.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I'll never forget it.
And it really is an interesting perspective, the two creatives trying to find a life together. And they've been together for a long time now, almost 10 years.
Yeah. And seem to still be going strong.
I know.
I mean, have you heard about these rumors about Barack Obama and Jennifer Aniston?
I have.
Do you know what's so crazy? Is that was like a tabloid front page supermarket rumor.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And now people are giving actual credence to it.
Well, and the origin of that rumor is in a story in The Economist that was satire. It was talking about what would happen if American politicians behaved like French politicians. And like you just like heard that Trump is running away with Beyonce and Barack has actually been having a big affair with Jennifer Aniston. That was the first time their names were ever linked together. And that was in 2014.
No.
Yes.
Do you think they knew something and they were looking for a way to shoehorn it in?
I feel that's too early.
Yeah.
That's so long ago. A 10-year affair that has been kept under wraps. I
mean, JFK and Marilyn, like that was going on a while.
Was it?
I mean, yeah. Probably.
I mean, no one knows. Yeah.
No one knows.
I don't know. But that was the first time their names were linked. And then it popped up like years later as like a tabloid story.
I mean, she has been single for so long.
I would love a tell-all memoir from her. Jennifer Aniston, end of life, like post-humanist tell-all memoir.
I can
only, the Obama years.
I can only imagine what she knows.
I know. Brad Pitt behind the scenes. Like there is so much she needs to tell us about.
Like Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
There's so much there.
I know. She's at the center of it all.
She really is. I think she actually
maybe, she is the center.
If you look at like kind of like the Venn diagram of Hollywood, it might be her.
It is. It is.
Ooh.
She, I swear she's been there for like every major event. She's seen everything.
God. She's like the person that was like at the Twin Towers. She's like someone who was like in
just
the Pentagon.
Before, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Walked out the building.
Yes.
She's a famous person that has always been famous.
She is. Wow.
Wow. Please, God, tell us if you know anything.
I'm a Bloomington, though. I bloom for him.
I bloom for him. Thank you for sharing your beautiful work with us in the world. I love to read it. And I really do mean that.
We're going to do one of yours next time.
Oh, my God.
Who do you want to do?
I don't know. It's been a minute.
Maggie Rogers.
We could do Maggie Rogers. That's my
your
one with the story.
Hated
oh,
profile.
I haven't, and I haven't revisited it. I haven't revisited it at all.
I think we got to do it.
We could. We could.
It would be fun.
Yeah. It could. And it takes us to a specific time, 2018.
I always see that video of Pharrell like discovering her pop up. It just is eternally circulating. So.
We post it.
Yeah. Could be good.
Yeah, it could be good.
Oh my God. Well,
oh,
I love you so much.
Love you so much.
It's so great to see you as per usual.
Yeah, my Lord. My Lord.
And we're gearing up for the Oscars. It's just around the corner.
I know. Everyone.
Do your homework.
Get in your little seats.
Yeah. Pull out the popcorn.
Yeah.
Watch Anora.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Watch Emilia Perez get Best Picture still.
Fuck.
I know.
Oh, God.
I know.
More nominations than fucking
I think this could, this all could have, all the drama could have swayed it in the other direction, but it's been the front runner, which is crazy. We love you. Please subscribe to Patreon.
And this podcast.
And this podcast. Both. Okay. It's in your best interest.
Okay, love you.
Okay, bye.
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 Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at Uncover Girl Podcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.